The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today we're going to be talking all about natural soaps and body care products. My guest is Jenny Freck. She is a former science teacher turned soap purveyor. She started at her local farmer's market in Goshen, Indiana, and grew her business to a storefront. Today, we're going to talk all about her journey and why natural soaps are definitely the way to go. I'm super excited to talk to Jenny because she is from Indiana. I'm from Illinois. And right now I'm recording this in Illinois. So it's wonderful. So Jenny, welcome to The Health Fix.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm just so excited to have you on because one, you're local. And for all of my folks that are family and friends that listen to this podcast, you guys better get over to Soapy Gnome in Goshen and check her out. But let's get into talking about natural soaps and things of that nature, because I'm a naturopath. I'm always going to be recommending anything that is in the natural, free from artificial dyes, fragrance, etc. And it's because it messes with people's skin. And I love people to have nice, clear skin. And gosh, you know, the smells, things of that nature too. So let's talk about scientist to soap purveyor. How did you get started in this game?
Okay, so I have always been a do-it-yourselfer. I've always liked trying new hobbies. And in fact, I've tried so many hobbies, I had to start a never going to do it list because I kept going down a lot of paths. But soap was always something I wanted to try. It was a little bit scary at first because some of the ingredients, you have to use sodium hydroxide to make the reaction happen. And that was a little scary to me. But I tried it, and the first batch I made was terrible. And I didn't make another batch for a whole nother year after that because the first batch turned out so terrible. And then I had a friend who said, hey, you know how to make soap. Let's make some for Christmas presents. And the second time I made it a year later, they turned out great. And it was really, really fun. And really one batch of soap is all you need for a whole year. And my husband said, you know, if you're going to do this, you should probably start selling them. So we started selling them at the farmer's market. I was a teacher. I was a high school science teacher. I taught biology and environmental science. And it was a very stressful job. And I ended up quitting halfway through one of the school years because I just couldn't do it anymore. And then I took another part-time job. And through this journey, it was trying to figure out how to balance, you know, this part-time job and making soap. And we got to the point where we were having enough sales that I quit my part-time job and started doing it full-time. And that was about 6 years ago at this point.
Wow. Wow. That says something about perseverance, because I think a lot of people will have a fail and they'll just be like, no, nope, I'll never, ever do this again.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I've really embraced in this entrepreneurial journey is failure, because I used to be the kind of person that never wanted to mess up or look stupid. And so I would get only a little ways into a new hobby before I was like, oh, I have to ask questions and I'm going to look stupid. Making my own soap and having my own company is all about failure. I fail all the time. And now I embrace it and I love it.
I think that's great that you mentioned that, because I think a lot of folks, you know, this podcast is about health. It's also about, you know, different mindsets, ways to achieve health. But one of the most important things I think that we could embrace in the universe is, you know, I think a lot of people look at not wanting to feel stupid, not wanting to, you know, ask the questions. As a teacher, you probably know all about this. And the fact that you were just like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go forward and I'm going to make this happen. This was your dream. I want folks to get out of this podcast that it's worth it to fail. It's worth it to ask questions to get to your ultimate goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could see that applying not just for careers and things, but to your health too, for sure. Like, you know, if one thing doesn't work, then you try something else. And until you find the thing that the groove that works for you, whether it's your health or your business or career or whatever it is.
You know, that's a great segue into talking about skin, because for a lot of people out there, finding the right skincare products that agree with them. And yeah. I'm not just talking about conditions. That's my realm. But in terms of just something that's not making them sick. So what got you started with, okay, I'm going to make soap, but I'm going to make a natural soap line. What turns you towards that direction?
Yeah. So the first time I used natural soap, it was when I was teaching. And there was another soap maker or a teacher that was a soap maker as well. And she gave us a coupon for a free bar of soap if we went to this craft show. And I used it. It was chocolate peppermint and it was amazing. And my skin felt so good. And the scent in the shower, it was just incredible. And I was like, oh gosh, I have to get more of this. And it was pricey. It was not cheap by any stretch. And at the time I didn't have a lot of money, but it was one thing that I wanted to splurge on. And then when I moved, I had no longer had that source and I had a really hard time finding natural soap. I didn't think to look on the internet. I mean, at that time, internet shopping wasn't quite as big, but I still didn't think about doing that. And so when I decided to start making my own soap, I was like, I'm going to try to make it as natural as possible. And I knew some of the ingredients that I wanted to use right off the bat, and then others I really researched until I came up with a good recipe.
Nice, nice. Now, I love to talk about what's in the different ingredients, you know, kind of what you have in your different soaps, and we'll get to that in a second. But first, we got to talk about the name of your business. It's called Soapy Gnome, and I love the name. It's super cute. And by the way, folks, her marketing in terms of the gnome and the purple and the orange of the colors, it looks really cool. And I'll talk about what I tried out and all of that in a second. But tell us a little bit about the Soapy Gnome name and the idea of coziness and the Norwegian term kuslig.
Yeah. So when I was trying to think of a name, I wanted a name that was memorable. And I also wanted something that felt like me. So I don't feel like I'm a gnome, but I do like to garden. At least I gardened a lot before I started my own business. Now I'm super busy, but I used to do a lot of flower gardening, a lot of vegetable gardening, and gnomes care for the earth. They care for flora and fauna. And I knew I wanted a vegetarian friendly soap. And gnomes are vegetarians. They're also really whimsical. And I wanted a brand, a name that went with my brand that was very whimsical. I didn't want to be too serious. I don't consider myself a beauty brand or like a high-end spa brand. We're all about being cozy. I want you to feel in the shower the way you would, like if you're sitting with a nice cup of tea in front of a fire with your cozy socks on. I want you to feel like that in the shower too. And to me, gnomes and their little gnome houses just feels really cozy. And we chose the word kuslig. It's a Norwegian word. I'm not Norwegian, but it just seemed very gnome-like and cozy. It's like the feeling. It's sort of like the hygge word that's Swedish that means the feeling of being cozy and comfortable.
Oh, I like it. I like it. So let's jump into some of your products, because when you were mentioning feeling cozy, like with a warm cup of tea, I was going, that's how I felt with your lavender sugar scrub. I was kind of putting it on, scrubbing away. And then I'm like, my skin feels so soft. It feels so just comfy. I don't know. I mean, that's a great word to put it. I loved that feeling. And I think a lot of people will use scrubs and they'll think of it as exfoliating. I didn't even think about that aspect. I just felt like this feels nice. It just feels nice and soothing.
Yeah. So the sugar scrubs feel like a hug all day long. That's how I like to talk about them, because it gets rid of all the dead skin cells and then it leaves your skin feeling really moisturized. There's rice bran oil in there, which is really nice for your skin, and it just feels so great afterwards. And I feel like even in the afternoon, after I use it in the morning, I feel like I'm still getting a hug.
Yeah, my skin stayed quite hydrated. And right now when we're recording this, it's wintertime. And so I put a little extra on my feet, scrub my feet a little bit, scrub my hands a little bit. I have some calluses from where I lift weights at the gym. And they felt so soft, not so scratchy like they usually do.
Okay.
I love that. So what is, so we've got lavender in there. We have rice bran oil. Where's the lavender coming from? Where do you get your essential oils for your products from?
Yeah, so I use a company that's local to us. It's called the Liebermove Company, and they've been in business for over 100 years. They're a supplier to most of the big businesses that use essential oils and fragrance oils and flavor oils. They do all sorts of things. We primarily use essential oils. We have a few fragrance oils here and there, but 95% of what we do uses essential oils. And so I use them in huge batches. Like lavender, I buy 25 pounds at a time. So it's not like I'm not using little tiny like bottles of that you would buy over the counter.
Makes sense. Now, of course, a lot of folks are going to want to know, are they organic? Do you use some organic products?
I use some organic. I don't use everything organic. Where it really matters, I try to definitely use it. So I use organic olive oil. I use organic cocoa butter because that in some of my products, I use cocoa butter. It's really important to me that that's organic and organic sunflower oil. All of those are ones that would be higher pesticide use oils. And then some of them like shea butter, I don't use organic because those are all collected by hand by women in Africa in hand ground. So there's not a lot of pesticide use in it to begin with. So having a certified organic, it would just increase the price a lot.
Makes sense. I think that's something important for folks to hear because it's kind of like the dirty dozen concept of foods, you know, which ones are exposed to the most pesticides, which ones aren't. Now, in terms of your essential oils, they are 100% oil from the plants or is there anything? Okay. And that is what I would confirm with folks because I am super sensitive. I am a what do you call it? The canary in the cave or the canary in the mine when it comes to oils, essential oils, fragrances, etc. I will react pretty strongly if something isn't 100% real product. And I did not have any reactions whatsoever to the Soapy Gnome products. I used the scrub as I talked about. Now I want to talk about the soap a little bit because the tangerine, the rosemary tangerine, it's a unique combination. You don't see this very often. Where did you come up with that?
Well, everything is better with tangerine or orange. And rosemary is such a nice essential oil for lots of different uses. And I just thought those two would be really nice together. It's sort of like a Mediterranean, I don't know, reminds me of the Mediterranean, having the rosemary and oranges together.
Makes sense. I liked it a lot. That one, by far of everything, I think the rosemary tangerine soap was my favorite. It just feels good on the skin. You also get some hydration with it. Now, it has some coloring in it. What are you using for the coloring?
Yeah, so some of my soaps use natural colorants like charcoal or clays. The rosemary tangerine uses micas, which are the same ingredient that you would find in eyeshadow. So if you wear eyeshadow, you would be okay with those colorants. If you want something more natural, we do have some that are just with clays and charcoals too.
Very cool. Now, tell us a little bit about the bath bomb. So I had the tangerine ginger one in particular. Lovely smell. How are those made? I think a lot of people have an idea that there might be some, you know, something that makes it fizzy, but I think it'd be lovely to tell us exactly how, you know, barring not giving away family secrets, what do you use in those? What makes them fizzy?
It's like the volcano experiment that every kid does when they're in elementary school. It's citric acid and baking soda is what makes the reaction that makes them fizz. And then, and baking soda, I mean, it's just what you would use in your kitchen. And citric acid is also an ingredient that's in a lot of foods. And then we put oil in ours too. So we put some cocoa butter and some shea butter and some apricot kernel oil. So they leave your skin feeling nice afterwards. And then those are scented with essential oils too. And the essential oils, I'll point this out too. The essential oils are blended with the shea butter, apricot, and cocoa butter so that they're not just hanging out in the water, because essential oils and water don't mix. And I don't want anybody using essential oils neat on their skin when they're in the tub. So that way, is that making sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because they're pretty strong. That's good for folks to know. So if you guys are listening to this and you're like, you know, I've heard of the rage of essential oils and I want to try them out, you want a carrier oil. You want something fatty to be able to kind of help buffer them a little bit. And so that's what Jenny's talking about here. Not just taking the oil and slapping it on your skin. I know some people do. If I did that, I would end up with hives all over the place. It doesn't go so well.
Yeah.
Sure, you've probably seen.
Yeah, if people want to add essential oils to their bath, always add it to a carrier oil first, even if it's just like coconut oil or olive oil or something like that, just so that it's not in there floating around and getting on your skin and causing some reaction. Absolutely. And it just takes a little bit.
Just a little bit, folks. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. I think this is a good conversation for folks to hear about this. I think it's important. I'm sure you probably are educating folks a lot in your store.
Yeah, we try to. We can't make any claims because sure, we're not a doctor and we can't prescribe things, but we find that people just with getting rid of some of the nasty ingredients in their products that they buy at the big box stores, that they can find a lot of relief.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find more and more often I'm seeing a lot of ladies going into menopause age, having a lot of hives and skin reactions. And one of the number one things that I will say is, hey, look at all your skincare, all your bath and hygiene products, and take a look and see how many ingredients are in there. But also let's look at fragrances. Let's look at all the dyes. Let's look at, you know, things you can't pronounce. And if you're looking at that list, that, you know, it's pretty eye-opening. And yeah, I have had quite a bit of success for folks turning to the natural soap products, which leads me into the next big thing, the soap shampoo, so the shampoo bar.
Yeah.
I think that is super unique. I don't think a lot of people even know what to do with a shampoo bar. Let's talk about shampoo bars. Tell me about that. How did you come up with the idea? And let's go forward.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So I don't remember how I came up with the idea of shampoo bars. I didn't invent them, of course, but sure. It was something I added early on in my business. And when I come up with a new recipe, I do tons of research. I research the oils, the properties of the oils, what other ingredients might be nice with them. So when I was doing the shampoo bars, I don't have the list in front of me, but it definitely has coconut oil, olive oil, has some rice bran oil. Rice bran oil is the beauty oil in Asia. They use it for everything, kind of like shea butter. And shea butter is the beauty oil in Africa. They use it for everything, for hair, skincare. If they get a boo-boo or something, they put it on there. So that's in there too. And then we have things like jojoba, which is really great for your skin and your hair. It's very similar to the sebum on our skin. Mm-hmm. And I also use essential oils in those. But then we add things like horsetail powder, which is high in silica, which is great for your hair. We use hibiscus tea. And marshmallow root. And marshmallow root is kind of a fun ingredient. It actually works as a detangler in your hair. So like my hair is pretty long and curly, and I don't have any trouble with tangles with the shampoo bars. One of the things that's great about them is I find out I wash my hair a lot less. So I maybe only wash it once a week or once every other week. It's also low waste. There's no plastic bottles. It's concentrated. One bar will last you a super long time, which is really great if sustainability is one of the things that's high up on your list. And then as far as conditioner, because it does have a higher pH, I use an apple cider vinegar rinse. I just put it in a squirt bottle and squirt it on my hair afterwards to to lower the pH of my hair when I'm done.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I didn't know when I was using it. I'm like, okay, what should I do? How does this work? Do I just use a shampoo? Do I use a conditioner? And so I was just using my regular conditioner, but good to know. By the way, folks, the soap bar, the calling it a soap bar, it looks like a soap bar, by the way. And it's the shampoo bar. You think to yourself, like, you're going to get some lathering. You're not, you're going to get just you're kind of like scrubbing your head with it of sorts, and it feels good. The oils in it definitely come out. My hair was quite hydrated afterwards, and my hair tends to be kind of dry in the winter, so I enjoyed that aspect of it as well. So embracing the soap bar, and I think it's great that you mentioned the soap bar, the shampoo bar. It's great that you mentioned the sustainability aspect of it, because it doesn't come with a lot of packaging. No. And I think that's something that a lot of us need to think about too, in terms of our products and the products we purchase. Shampoos come in bottles. A lot of businesses, I keep saying companies and businesses. No, really, it's a lot of cities are not taking the recyclable plastics anymore. Mm-hmm. And Jenny's shampoo bar, it's just a cardboard around the shampoo bar. That's it. So you can easily recycle that. As far as I know, most cities are still taking cardboard.
Yeah. And the shampoo that we use is actually made in Niles, Michigan, which is just 45 minutes from here. And it's made with wind power. So that's kind of fun too. I don't talk about that much, but it's kind of a fun little trivia fact.
Hey, any little green component that you can add to your business is great by me. And definitely, you know, I think it's a selling point. I think these are really big things that we need to think about for going forward with our businesses and with our lives. What can we do to reduce waste? Now, let's talk a little bit about what's next for you guys. What are you coming up with? What are you playing with? What's, you know, the hot thing at this moment for you guys at Soapy Gnome?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. Well, one of the things I'm trying to do is streamline my business. And this isn't so much product as it is like just managing things. I've never been a manager of people before. This is my first time having employees and things. But I'm trying to get the business out of my brain and get systems set up so that the employees can better connect to that, and so that the business can run without me. Should something ever happen to me, they will all still have jobs. So that's kind of what's big for us right now. We're also really trying to promote our online site. We have a really successful brick and mortar. When you come into our store, it's so cozy in here and it's so great. And we have tons of repeat customers, but it's just harder to get traction online and get people to find you online. So that's also another thing that we've been working on. And then I'm always trying new products too. We've got a list of things after we get caught up. We're still catching up after our Christmas rush, and it's February. So getting some new people trained on how to make things, and then we can start experimenting with more products.
Very nice. Very nice. So a couple of things that we didn't talk about, and I think we should mention in terms of your product line, so folks know what else is out there. You have a lip balm. And of course, I was a fan of the tangerine lip balm that you sent to me as well. There's a theme with me and orange scents. Now, with the lip balms, you had sent me the tangerine and the lavender. I liked both of them, just obviously like the tangerine a little bit more. Do you have any other scents, anything else in that department?
For lip balm? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have 9 different flavors.
Wow.
Yeah, the lavender is made with essential oil. The rest are flavorings, but they're all really good. And one of the things that I think makes our lip balm so great are there's 2 ingredients in there. One, there's sunflower oil, which is high in vitamin E, which our lips love. And the other is mango butter, which is just a tremendous butter for lips and skin.
Wow. I've never even heard of mango butter. Is it the mango plant or the tree?
It comes from the mango. I'm not exactly sure where it comes from in the fruit, the mango fruit. It's about mangoes, yeah.
Huh. Very cool. Very cool. Now, you also have a lotion bar that you sent to me, and I love those for massage, and I love to use them just in addition to, I'm an acupuncturist in addition to being a naturopath. And so a lot of times I will use my gua sha tool with a lotion bar just to give a nice, I don't know, gentle feel to it. What's in your guys' lotion bars?
Well, there's beeswax in there. Okay. And then, oh gosh, I think I don't have the label in front of me. I believe there's cocoa butter in there. And oh golly,
it's okay.
We can, I don't know. Yep.
We'll edit it. No worries. No worries. So let's move forward about some other items. So I tried the soap out. I tried the sugar scrub. I tried the lip balms, the bath fizz, the lotion bar, and the shampoo bar. Is there anything that you didn't send me that you guys have?
Yeah. We also make a deodorant. Our deodorants, I should have sent you a deodorant. Our deodorants are baking soda free. And I don't know if you've ever talked about this before on your show, but a lot of people have, when they try to switch to a natural deodorant, will find that they get red welts under their arm. And that's usually because of baking soda in the natural deodorants. Because if they find a recipe online, I saw your recipe and it didn't have baking soda, but a lot of the natural recipes have baking soda and they're in huge amounts. And it works great for keeping the smell producing bacteria at bay, but then it lets like the candida that's on our skin grow and it causes red welts. And like a huge amount of the population can't have baking soda under their arms. And so our deodorants are all baking soda free. And then we carry another line. So we have ours. And then there's another line that's really great if people are looking, if they want to test out deodorants. It's called Smarty Pits. And she makes a natural deodorant that has baking soda in it. And she also has a baking soda free. So we have both of those in our store. I don't feel bad if it's such a personal thing and everybody's body chemistry is different. And some deodorants work for some people and some work for others. And it's just kind of a lot of trial and error. But that's another great brand to try out. So we do deodorants. We make a bath tea that's really lovely. It's hot. It has a lot of botanicals and just a little bit of essential oils in it. And we have a bergamot scent. We have a lavender chamomile and a eucalyptus spearmint for that. We make some body butters. The body butters, I normally don't ship those because if they get heated up, they'll liquefy. I make a nice facial oil that has rosehip oil, raspberry seed oil, argan, and blackberry oil in it. That's lovely. And then we make some powdered face masks that are really nice. One is a charcoal and one is a rose kaolin clay.
Uh-huh. And so folks would end up taking the powder home and then mix it with water and apply to their face?
Yeah. And there's several in there. It just takes like a teaspoon of the powder and you can add it to water, or if you wanted to use buttermilk or aloe or something or yogurt, you could mix it with that and make whatever kind of mask you'd like from there. Uh-huh. But the powder is nice because then it doesn't go bad. If you buy a fresh mask, then they're not, you have to use a lot of preservatives to keep them nice.
You know, I think that's a really good, something you mentioned, because I've not seen just a powder mask in any store that I've been into in terms of the natural skincare products. That's cool because, yeah, the waste is huge, the stabilizers that you have to put into that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of folks didn't know that. That's a big one. I like that. That's huge. And I love that you have kind of every single aspect from the hair, you know, to the skin, to also trying to purify the skin a little bit with the masks to help folks out. That's really neat. And, you know, keeping it very, very simple. Now, this is one of the things that drew me to your company when you guys reached out, is that I don't think that there are a lot of companies out there that are natural that are actually branding themselves as, we're just trying to help you, you know, stay clean better, you know, versus going down the route of, you know, we're trying to reverse aging. We're trying to, you know, do this, do that. You're just about the basics and staying cozy. I love that.
Yeah. I just want you to feel good in your own skin.
And I think for a lot of people, just whatever they've been using from some of the big box stores out there, or whatever it may be, I think it's one of the things that's commonly overlooked, that it could be their skincare products causing their actual skincare issues. And going simple makes a huge difference, especially what you mentioned about the deodorants, because no, I haven't talked about that before on this podcast, but I have seen it over and over again. Now, something else that I wanted to talk about in terms of natural skincare products is that, you know, the same concept of using all these harsh chemicals or using dyes, it messes with the pH of your skin. And it sounds like you've geeked out quite a bit on how to balance pH, as you mentioned with the shampoo, you know, switching to make sure you put some apple cider vinegar to help get the pH back of the scalp. Now, in terms of your products, what have you geeked out on in terms of trying to match the skin pH?
I have not done as much research on the skin pH.
Okay. Okay. Well, you've got a lot of different products. Jojoba is very, you know, good about helping to keep the moisture in and helping to balance the pH. Now, have you thought any more about working, like you were mentioning the mask with the probiotics? Have you thought any more about how probiotics might jump into your universe and helping with the skin?
It is an area that I want to do more research in. I just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Fair enough. We will stay tuned to see what kind of cool things you are going to come up with, because I know as a science teacher, you've got that scientist background. So I'm sure you are cooking up some good ideas there. Now, can you tell folks how they can find you online, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, your website? I think I would love to have you highlight all of the different areas folks can find you.
Sure. So we love Instagram and Facebook. We're at The Soapy Gnome on both of those. I'm going to try again on that. On Instagram and Facebook, we are at The Soapy Gnome. And on our website, it is soapygnome.com. And we are offering a discount to your listeners for 20% off if they use the code HealthFix. And 20% off their first order, whatever the order is. If it's little or big, you can try things out.
Excellent. I love it. And another big thing that we are going to do is we're going to do a giveaway. And now, folks who are listening to this, depending on when you might hear this, we are in February of 2020 right now, and I'm going to be putting out information as soon as this podcast goes out, which it will end up being pretty much probably into March of 2020. But I want you guys to be looking for Instagram and Facebook messages that I'm going to be sending out about our giveaway from Soapy Gnome, because I'd love someone to win this lovely gift and get to try out Soapy Gnome, because I enjoyed every single one of my products. I have no doubt that you guys will as well. So you want to go over to follow me at Dr. Janine Krause on Instagram. You'll want to like the giveaway post and tag a friend in the comments to make sure that you will be entered to win. And we will use a lovely competition there with all kinds of stuff, just so that you guys can be informed and ready to join in and jump on the giveaway. So, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little insight into your business and telling us your story. I can't wait to get all of my family members hooked on Soapy Gnome, and we'll just keep talking about your products here and putting stuff out on Instagram going forward.
Thank you so much for having me today. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, health junkies, Dr. Janine Krause here. I absolutely love natural soaps and body products for so many reasons. The artificial dyes, fragrances, coloring agents, all that stuff really messes with your skin. And since your skin is the largest organ you have to think about how it interacts with your environment and what you put on it and what you are absorbing by putting on things. So something to think about. I myself am extremely sensitive to smells, just like I mentioned in this podcast. And I had a chance to try out Jenny's products and they're amazing. I didn't react to anything. I felt good. I didn't get sick. I didn't get a headache and my skin did not break out. That's a huge testament to her products and how much that she has investigated into the background of keeping things natural. So I really hope that you head over to soapynome.com and check out her products. She's got a lot of offerings. And if you're in the Goshen, Indiana area, go check them out. I've no doubt that they have a lovely store and can't wait to get there myself. I will have all of the details of the products I tried and more information on my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com or thehealthfixpodcast.com. Head over there, check them out. Go check out Jenny on Instagram or Facebook at The Soapy Gnome and see for yourself. I really think that these guys have some special products and Jenny knows her stuff. So, all right, folks, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.